The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Schools, and in our lead story this evening, I'm joined by Colene Estriesen Andreas, the Manager for Forensic Services at Standard Bank Namibia. Welcome.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
What prompted the Bankers Association of Namibia and the Bank of Namibia to host this Fraud and Cybersecurity Risk Awareness Summit?
Okay, so firstly, it's with respect to the statistic, we are currently experiencing like a large volume of fraud occurrences within Namibia, and huge amounts of losses are being experienced. And in addition to that, International Fraud Awareness Week was celebrated last week, where organizations created internal and external awareness of fraud. So in conclusion to that week of fraud awareness, the Bankers Association decided to raise this event for industry players to come together and explain why it is important to raise awareness with respect to fraud, and why is it important for all industry players to participate and come up with solutions to fight fraud effectively.
Colene, what key risks or fraud trends are currently affecting Namibia's financial sector?
So the most significant fraud pattern we are currently observing is definitely social engineering. So this is where fraudsters manipulate individuals into sharing information or taking actions that compromise their trust by creating a false sense of urgency and trust. So the danger of social engineering is that it bypasses cybersecurity controls, meaning that one single lapse in judgment can open up the door for fraud to occur. So this highlights that awareness and education is just as important as cybersecurity controls.
How serious is the rise of cyber-enabled financial crime in Namibia?
So the most common type of attacks we are experiencing is social engineering, for example, phishing. So this is where an individual receives a call from a financial institution, for example, and they indicate that their card details has been compromised and their entire balance has been withdrawn from their account. So in this case, the sense of urgency is created by indicating that you need to give me all your internet banking login credentials for me to stop this transaction. And this trust is created by indicating that they are calling from your financial institutions in that regard.
How are banks and financial institutions collaborating to combat fraud and cybercrime?
So what was discussed is definitely that a collaboration effect needs to take place. So BAN has established a fraud working group where industry players come together, discuss the trend that's currently in place, how they are experiencing it, and what they are doing to try and tackling that. So with that collaboration in place, we have to work together to achieve a common objective and fight fraud effectively.
Is there a coordinated national response mechanism for cybersecurity incidents in the banking sector?
For example, the Payments Association also has a fraud working group where the same information is shared and investigated amongst each other, where we, for example, we share information about specific trends we are seeing so that other banks can also respond quicker when they are seeing the same trends.
And how important are partnerships with telecoms, law enforcement, and other firms in reducing risks?
I would say it's very important, especially because they hold key information which gives a holistic view of the specific incidents. For example, financial institutions hold the transactional information of the incident, for example. And then where NPC holds the telecom information, like the customers or the scammers' contact details. So they would have that information and trace it using the identity documents, which is saved on their systems. So it is important to share information and report this type of incidents for example, the numbers to be blocked, and then report all this information to the Namibian police force in order to investigate and collect the information from all the different data points.
What regulatory or policy changes may be needed to strengthen fraud resilience?
So I believe policy changes with respect to information sharing amongst institutions in order to create a very skilled task force that can analyze the information and come up with a plan to actually investigate and identify these fraud groups and syndicates working within Namibia to successfully investigate them, prosecute them, etc. to stop the root cause of this problem, which is these types of syndicates. Obviously, it's not to say that if one syndicate is taken down, others won't arise, but at least that task force can learn through experience and solve the problem and challenges quicker.
Coline, how is the financial sector investing in talent development for fraud?
So with respect to talent development, Namibia is a small country with limited people. However, there are international institutions, for example, the Association for Certified Fraud Examiners, that provides relevant modules and training to understand the different types of fraud, how to investigate them, how to respond to them, how to detect fraud before it occurs, and prevention. So that is in place. So if we can leverage from international standards and professional bodies, that would be very valuable to upskill the team into successfully investigating and detecting fraud.
How does fraud affect our economy?
So it is actually a very significant impact on the consumer. Fraud happens, and as a result, the financial institutions needs to respond to a fraud incident by appointing new people, very skilled people in that respect, as well as investing very much money into cybersecurity controls, technical controls, and then also technical specialties. So ultimately, this would definitely increase the cost of banking and cost of business, which at the end of the day has a significant impact on the consumer.
Just the last question, Coline, is what message do you want to leave with Namibians about protecting themselves and their financial information going into December? What is your message?
Okay, so firstly, adapt the pause button habit. So whenever you get a call or email that appears to be urgent, rather hit your mental pause button. So fraudsters thrive on creating urgency for their victims, not to think clearly. Slowing down is definitely the best defense you have. Secondly, practice the what if it's fake mindset. So before clicking on the link or sharing in any information over the phone, ask yourself, what if this is not real? So this question can save victims from making costly mistakes. Thirdly, always verify. Think of yourself as a detective. If someone claims to be from your bank, don't take it at face value. Rather, contact your bank through their official contact details and confirm the legitimacy of your call.
Coline, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Angie. I appreciate it.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.